Will you turn with me in the Word of God to Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 14. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 14. Acts 1, 4 to 14. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Oh, that Harold Camping would read that. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath's day walk from the city. And when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. And they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Oh Lord, you have said, having ears you do not hear, having eyes you do not see. So therefore you said repeatedly, he who has ears, let him hear, he who has eyes, let him see. Lord, may all that is said and done today not simply be heard with human ears and seen with human eyes, that we might not truly hear, but give us eyes of the soul to hear, to see, and ears of the soul to hear, that we might receive your message, not as mouth to ear, not as mind to mind, but as word to soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to talk about the topic of tarrying until. Jesus said to them, it says on one occasion, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. But wait. Now, Jesus knew something about you and I that we often do not acknowledge or do not know, and that is that we need power. You cannot live for Jesus Christ without the power of the Holy Spirit. It is an impossible task. There is no one who can live a holy life, no one who can have power in their testimony, no one who can understand the Word of God, no one who can pray without the Holy Spirit. It is not something you can do. It is not something I can do. The greatest human being who has ever lived cannot possibly do that, because it is only in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, verse 8, but you will receive power. He told them to wait for that power. He said, wait until it comes. Don't go off. Now, you need to understand something. These were not untrained people. You say, but wait a minute. I have the Word of God. I know the Bible. I can do these things. Look with me at Mark chapter 6. Look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, and we'll pick up in the middle of the sixth verse, Mark 6, 6, where it begins then. Mark 6, 6, then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. And calling the 12 to himself, he sent them out two by two. And he gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belt. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. The extra tunic was something that was used to cover a person when they slept. If you had to sleep outdoors, it was an added thing of warmth in the cool of the desert. So he's saying, don't take thought about where you're going to stay or have provision for sleeping. Trust God to provide you with a place to stay. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if the place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. Now, I want you to look at verse 12. They, who's they? All those 12, all the ones he's saying, you need power. He says, all the 12 went out and preached that people should repent. Now, I want you to notice something. First of all, they went out. They didn't stay around. They didn't disobey him. They went out. Second of all, they went out and preached. And there's a lot of times today that we close our mouths and won't open our mouths and don't say anything, but they went out and preached. They went out in obedience. They went out and preached. And third of all, it says they preached that people should repent. They preached the right message. Verse 13, they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. They did works of power to demonstrate the truth of their message. So these were not people who were unfamiliar with the service of God. But Jesus says to these people who had done those things, you need power. Now, if they needed power, do you think we need power? If they had gone out in obedience, preached the right message, and verified the message with miracles, yet they needed power, who here could say, well, boy, I'm glad I'm not with them. I don't need power. I've got all I need. Jesus said, you will receive power. And even though they had preached in the past, even though they had accomplished many things, they still needed power. Now remember, someone will say, well, I've received the Holy Spirit. I'm saved. But I want you to notice, look at John 20, 22. Now, John 20, 22 is very specific about when this happens. If you look at John 20, 19, it is perfectly clear when this happens. John 20, 19 says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together. Now, when was this? This was that first day of the week when Christ arose. On the evening of that first day of the week, the day of the resurrection, that is 40 days before Acts chapter 1, verse 4. 40 days earlier. On that day, Jesus stands before them even though the doors are locked, and he says, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed. And again Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. They had received the Holy Spirit, but they needed more than just receiving the Holy Spirit. They needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. They needed an immersion in the Holy Spirit. They needed to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, is that your need today? You can say, I've received the Holy Spirit. I'm one of Christ's. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. He's breathed on me and I've received the Holy Spirit. I felt the Holy Spirit minister within me. I know the witness of the Holy Spirit that testifies in my spirit, according to Romans 8, that I'm a child of God. But let me ask you, do you have the power of the Holy Spirit? Look with me at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I'm sorry, we're going to start at Luke 3, 21. Luke 3, 21. I want you to see four things in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus had to do. First of all, it says, Luke 3, 21, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was open and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So Luke chapter 3 verse 21 says, Jesus comes to begin his ministry and the Holy Spirit comes upon him. But that was merely the first step. Then I want you to notice chapter 4 verse 1, Luke 4 verse 1. Luke 4 verse 1 says this, Jesus full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus full of the Holy Spirit returned from the Jordan. So first Jesus had the Holy Spirit come upon him, then he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then third it says, the end of verse 1, and was led by the Spirit. Let me ask you, are you being led by the Spirit? You notice the progression there? It wasn't enough that the Holy Spirit land upon him. He had to be filled with the Spirit, then he had to be led by the Spirit. And where did the Spirit immediately lead him? Into the desert to pray. And he spent the next 40 days in prayer and fasting. And Jesus comes to his disciples and says, you may have received the Holy Spirit like I did in that baptism, but you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you need to pray. And for the next 10 days, they had a prayer meeting. Just like Jesus spent days having a prayer meeting. And he went off to the desert and he began to pray. And then I want you to notice, verse 14. And I want you to notice that it was not until verse 14 that it says Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Now, if it took Jesus 40 days of prayer and fasting to return in the power of the Spirit, who here thinks that we can get it cheaper than that? Is there someone here that would say, oh, I know it would take Jesus that much? But you know, I take it as a given that if Jesus needed days of preparation and prayer and fasting to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, that there is no possible way that someone like me could receive it with anything less. And so Jesus says to those disciples, he says, tarry here in Jerusalem until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. So immediately, just like Jesus, they're led by the Spirit to begin to pray. Let me ask you, how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Because you see, when I ask how your prayer life is, I ask how your power life is. But I want you to notice something about this baptism. John the Baptist had talked of Jesus, and I want you to look back at Luke chapter 3, verse 16. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. We'll start at verse 15. Luke chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. Now, why was it that they were wondering if John might be the Christ? John didn't do a single miracle. John did not do any of the great wonders that Jesus did. Yet, they were wondering, is John the Christ? Here's why, because John spoke in the power of the Holy Spirit. The prophecy had been made of John that from before his birth, he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And John went out in the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't need miracles in your life. What you need is the power of the Holy Spirit. John had nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit to substantiate his ministry, and yet the people were saying, wow, is he the Christ? But John sets them straight very directly. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you, and you need to underline this, because It is not what you might expect. It says he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't stop there. It says, and with fire. Whoa, wait a minute. What's he mean? You see, you and I need a baptism not only with the Holy Spirit, but also with fire. Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, we do not have what we need for the Christian life. We've begun to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is a baptism of power, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, Acts 1:8. But it is more than that. It is also a baptism of knowledge. I remember what the Bible used to mean to me before the Holy Spirit came and began to teach. I thought it was the most boring book in the world. John chapter 16, verse 13. John chapter 16, verse 13. John 16, verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. You see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is also a baptism of knowledge. How is it that Peter and James and John, the people could look at them and say, these are ignorant and unlearned men. But then they would say, but they have been with Jesus. It was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Has Christ baptized your mind with the Holy Spirit that you might receive His Word and understand His Word and live His Word and do His Word? It is a baptism of knowledge. See, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a baptism of power, and it is a baptism of knowledge, and it is a baptism of conviction. Look at John chapter 16, verse 8. John chapter 16, verse 8. When He, speaking about the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, when He, the Holy Spirit, comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. You see, often we want the Holy Spirit, but without conviction. When the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit doesn't come, so we all jump up and down and go, woo! Now that time comes, but first we must go through deep conviction. The Holy Spirit comes with conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment. And that is why Acts 2:37 says this. Many of us have memorized Acts 2:38, but Acts 2:37 says this. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Let me ask you, when was the last time you spoke to someone and they were cut to the heart? When is the last time you spoke to someone and they were cut to the heart? They just stood there dumbfounded and tears began to well in their eyes and their hands began to shake and their knees began to vibrate and they said, what must we do to be saved? You see, the reason that we are not what we need to be is not because we lack knowledge. It's not because we need another training course in witnessing. It's not because we need more experience going out like the disciples went out, and we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need that baptism of conviction. Look at Acts chapter 7. Look at Acts chapter 7. Here's a man baptized in the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 55. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this they covered their ears and yelled at the top of their voices. When's the last time that you had someone cover their ears and say, please don't say anymore, I can't hear it, I can't take it, oh God. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a baptism of power, it's a baptism of knowledge, and it's a baptism of conviction. And what is desperately needed in this day, someone was talking about driving people away from Christ. We are to drive people away from Christ. Let us be perfectly honest about that. We had better drive people away from Christ. If we do not drive people away from Christ, we do not have the Holy Spirit. Because let's go back to Luke chapter 3. I stopped short of the end of what John the Baptist said of Jesus. Luke chapter 3. Verse 17. Luke chapter 3, verse 17. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Don't forget that fire. We're going to come back to that, but I want to look at this first. His winnowing fork is in his hand. Why did Jesus come? Because he came with a winnowing fork. What's a winnowing fork? How many of you have a winnowing fork in your tool shed? A winnowing fork was a wide wooden fork, like a pitchfork, that you would take and you would shove it into the grain and you would throw it in the air. and the wind would blow the chaff away, but the heavier grain would fall back to the ground. And then you would take the fork and beat it to break loose the husks, and you'd throw it in the air again, and the chaff would be blown away, and the grain would be gathered in. And notice what it says, his winnowing fork is in his hands to clear his threshing floor. God has a threshing floor, and you and I are on that threshing floor. And so is the soul of every man and every woman and every boy and every girl under heaven. We are all on God's threshing floor. And it says, and to gather the wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. God says, I want people divided, those who are chaff to be blown away, but those who are my people to be gathered in. And you cannot gather in without pushing away chaff. There are many of us today that would like to gather in, but we're not willing to push away chaff. But you see, when the gospel is preached, just like in Acts chapter 2, they cried, what must we do to be saved? But the same crowds in Acts chapter 7 plugged their ears and said, we won't listen to it, and rushed Stephen and stoned him to death. And you see, when conviction comes, it separates the souls of men. It separates those who believe from those who will not. It separates those who believe from those who reject. And Jesus says, John said of Jesus, his winnowing fork is in his hands. Let me ask you, is God's winnowing fork in your hands? Is God's winnowing fork in your hands to gather in and to blow away the chaff? But we've skipped over something very important, and that is a baptism of fire. You see, John said of Jesus, it's not enough that he baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you and I need more than the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need a baptism of fire. And the first thing that the baptism of fire is a baptism of purity. Thank God for Kathy's prayer request today. Would that all of us would be on our faces before God pleading for greater purity. The baptism of fire is a baptism of purity. Look with me at the little book of Malachi right before Matthew, last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi predicts the coming of John the Baptist and of Jesus. And this is what Malachi prophesies of John the Baptist and of Jesus. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Malachi 3, 1. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Speaking of John the Baptist and also of Elijah who is yet to return. He said the messenger will come, and then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. And Jesus came suddenly and without warning. And on that day they spread their palm branches in front of him, and they threw their cloaks on the ground, and they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And suddenly, without warning, the Lord himself entered the temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty, but who can endure the day of his coming? And they couldn't, and they missed it. But I want you to notice why. It says, who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a loving embrace. No, that's not what the Word of God says. He will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. Now, we live in a day when they've got all these soaps, you know, that are nice, and they have emollients and oils and all these things. But you know what they used back then for soap? Lye. Now, I don't know, has anyone here ever worked with lye soap? When I worked on the farm, cleaning the milk dishes, we had to use pure lye soap to wash the milk dishes. And then we had to dip them in acid to neutralize the lye, to get the lye out of them. And I'd have to take my hands and go into that and wash those milk dishes all up in that lye, up to about my elbows in lye, and then dip them into the acid and whirl them around in the acid and pull them out. I'd get done, my arms would be red and raw to my elbows. He says he'll come like a refiner's fire, like a launderer's soap. He'll rub you and I raw. He'll burn us with fire. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levite. You see, that's us. Because the Bible says we are the kingdom of priests unto our God. If we want to be one of His people, we must be a priest. And to be a priest, we must be purified. He will refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men. Then. Let me ask you. Have you received the baptism of fire? Have you allowed the fire of God to burn into your soul to purify you? To purify your tongue, to purify your heart, to purify your eyes, to purify your ears, to purify your imagination? We need a baptism of fire. Jesus said, in a little while, I'll send that baptism of fire. I'll send the Holy Spirit. And you will receive power, and you will receive knowledge, and you will receive conviction, and you will be pure. But it's also a baptism of passion. The baptism of fire is a baptism of purity, of God cleansing all of our hearts from the evil within us, purifying us of the sin, taking away the disgrace of rebellion against God. But it's more than that. It is a purification of passion. That fire is a passion burning within. Look with me at Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah laments his condition. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 8. Jeremiah laments his condition. He says, "Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction." There is a day to cry out and cry out nothing but violence and destruction. And if you do not believe that day is coming and has come upon America, then do not deceive yourself. No one knows with the surety that a Jeremiah knew that destruction is coming upon this nation or when it will come. But let me assure you, there is no nation that can sin against God, reject God, alienate God from their institutions, turn their back on God, despise God, and reject God the way has been done officially in America, and there be no repercussions. And Jeremiah cried out, violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. He says, all that happens. Let me ask you, will you declare God's word even if it brings you nothing but reproach and insult all day long? Or are you only willing to proclaim God's word if it brings you blessings and joyous accolades and people saying thank you? Jeremiah says, your word has brought me insult and reproach all day long. He says, but, and this is the baptism of fire. But I say, but if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is like fire in my heart, like a fire shut up in my bones. Have you received the baptism of fire set up in your heart and in your bones? Have you received that baptism of fire that says, I am so consumed with the power and presence and love of Jesus Christ that I can't keep my mouth shut? When I try to close my mouth, it's like a fire burning within me. I don't know if any of you have ever siphoned gas. But if you grow up on a farm, you have siphoned gas. And usually out of big old tractor tanks that are way down in there, and you've got to really suck on them to pull stuff. And you kind of go, and nothing happens. You go, nothing happens. And finally, about the 10th time of doing that, you just get all frustrated. You go, and you bring a big old, and the gas goes gulp right down. And if you've never swallowed gasoline, you don't know what fire in your heart is. If you think you've had heartburn, if you think you've had something burning inside of you, just swallow about an ounce of gas. Because let me tell you something about anatomy that you may not know, although I assume you do. The human body was not meant to digest gasoline. It sits there, I would say like lead, but it doesn't sit there like lead. It sits there like gasoline. And I don't care whether it's leaded or unleaded. Whether it's low test or high test, it burns. Let me ask you, have you received the baptism of fire that the Word of God burns in your heart? Now you say, why'd you bring up that about gasoline? Because I'll tell you something. There is nothing you can do with gasoline but bring it up. It don't go through. It's got to come up. And when the Word of God is burning inside of you, you can't keep it inside. It's got to come out. And on that day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, when the baptism of fire came upon them, Peter couldn't help himself but stand up and say, men and brethren, this is that which the prophet Joel spoke about. Is God's word a fire burning in your bones that you can't hold it in? Peter just began to preach. It was no accident. He'd received a baptism of fire. Look with me at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 3. Acts 2, 3. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you received the baptism of fire? It will not happen by accident. You cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire just by going about your daily duties. If Jesus had to go off to the desert in prayer to return in the power of the Holy Spirit. If those disciples had to spend 10 days, Acts 1:14, they all joined together constantly in prayer. Do you think that you and I will receive the endowment of the Holy Spirit without seeking Him in deep prayer? The crying need of this day is not that we have more of what we've got. Well, let me be real honest with you folks. There are some of you folks here that just have really done the stuff you need to be doing. You've been witnessing. You've been talking to people. And it's like bullets off of Superman. You've shared the gospel with friends, with acquaintances. And nothing's happening as a result of it. People say, yeah, that's good for you. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. Okay, yep, gee whiz. They pat you on the back and walk away, and there is no winnowing fork, is there? There is no one clasping their ears saying, I can't take it, just shut up. There's no one cut to the heart saying, what must I do to be saved? And it's not that you need more training. It's not that you need a more polished presentation or a better argumentation. You don't need the ability to refute some esoteric claim that, no. What we need is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. And I'm not going to have an altar call today because there is no altar call for this. There's nothing that you can come and say or come and do or come into the front of a church or do anything that you can do as the magic bullet. Okay, I knelt at the church. Now you need to do exactly what they did. They join together constantly in prayer. You say, how long? Notice what Jesus said. Look at Acts chapter 24. Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Luke 24, 49. You say, I've been praying for 6 months. I've been praying for a year. I've been praying for 5 years. I don't care how long you or I have been praying. Jesus said, Luke 24, 49, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Luke 24, 49. But stay in the city until. Well, how long, Jesus? You know, I've got a schedule to keep here. I've got things to do. You know, I'd like to have some kind of time. Are we talking a month? Are we talking a week? Are we talking a year? How long are we talking? Until. Well, but you see, I've got other things. Stay in Jerusalem. Until. But I've got a family back in Galilee. Stay in Jerusalem. Until. Look at what Hosea. Hosea is the first of the minor prophets, right after Daniel. Look at what Hosea has to say. Hosea 10:14. You might want to write Hosea 10:12. You might want to write Hosea 10:12 right beside Luke 24:49. You might want to write it right in the margin there. Here's what Hosea 10:12 says. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Hosea 10:12. Reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground. Do you have any unplowed ground in your soul? Do I have any unplowed ground in my soul? God can't send rain upon unplowed ground. It just runs right off. And break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until. How long? Until. When? Until. But you don't understand until he comes. When will that be? I don't know. Maybe it'll be today. Maybe it'll be tomorrow. Maybe God will make us wait a year. I can't tell you when until is, because Jesus didn't say how long it would be. Jesus just said until. And here's our problem. We get sick and tired of waiting. We're like those 500 that heard Jesus speak. And I'm sure they were there the first day or two. One day they turned and said, "Hey, where's Matthias? Hey, where's Rabinowitz? Where's Michael? Hey, I thought Elizabeth was here praying with us." And pretty soon that 500 was 380, 240, 180, 160. And then it got down to 120. That meant business with God and had driven a stake in the ground and said, "I am coming here and I am waiting until." And then God said, "Today's the day." Let me ask you, are you waiting to be clothed with power from on high? Are you waiting in prayer? Are you seeking Him until He comes? Or have you said in your heart, "You know, I'll do this for a few weeks. If it doesn't work, I'll back off." Or maybe it is that you backed off a long time ago. There was a time when you were doing this, but you're not doing it the same way anymore. He didn't come when you wanted Him to come. That was enough. Are you willing to commit yourself to seek Him until? Because what you and I need is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as I've described the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is there anyone here that can say, "Boy, I've got that in its fullness"? And I don't mean that as a rhetorical question. If you can say, "I have everything you've described, I have that kind of power, I have that kind of conviction, I have that kind of knowledge, I have that kind of purity, I have that kind of passion, I've got it, I'm ready to go out." If not, then we need to be waiting. And we need to give ourselves to waiting until we've got it. Crying out for it. "God, You promised to baptize me in the Holy Spirit and in fire. God, I need that baptism." And if I've had that baptism in my past, but I've lost it today, I need to get it back. And so here I am, God, just like Jesus in the desert, just like those 120 in the upper room, I am coming and I am going to seek You until You come. Bow together. Lord, You've showed us what we need. There is no question in all of our lives that this is what we need. God, I need a baptism of purity. I need to have my whole person burned from the inside out with Your fire that burns a purity into my soul. Lord, I need a baptism of passion. That Your word is like a fire. Lord, I need a baptism of power. A baptism of knowledge. A baptism of conviction. I need that winnowing fork to be placed within my hands. Oh God, Your work cannot be done without the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, because You are the one who has to take up the winnowing fork in our hands to gather in the grain and blow away the chaff. God, as we look around us, there may be a lot of chaff, but there's also a lot of grain that has not been gathered into the barn. Oh God, that grain is mildewing in the field. Lord, raise us up to seek you until we receive the baptism of power. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing the first verse, hymn number 439, as the deacons come forward. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own gentle way. Sacrifice is ready. Jesus has shed his blood. His body's been broken. The cross has been accomplished. But still the gospel does not go forth in power, because you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So he gathered with them for 40 days, and he ate with them, and he visited with them, and he taught with them, but still it wasn't enough. After 40 days, you would think after 40 days of seeing Jesus in the glorified body, they'd have everything they needed, but they didn't. So he said the same thing John the Baptist had said 3 years earlier. He said, "You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Just wait." They began to seek him. Today we need to reflect on that. Jesus said, remember. I was talking with someone a while ago, and they said, you know, it seems like you live in the past. Yeah, I do. Unashamedly so, because the Bible says, seek the ancient paths. It's time that we go back to the ancient paths. Not look for new paths. God has a path, but he showed that path a long time ago. We don't have to find a new path for him. We have to go back and seek the ancient path, where the good way is. So Jesus said, remember. Remember, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. Shall we bow together? Oh God, the sacrifice is complete. We can come to this table and announce Jesus has died. The sacrifice for sin has been made. We can have peace with God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is now available. Repent and believe the gospel. Lord, we must have Holy Spirit fire, Holy Spirit boldness. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and of fire to carry this good news forward. So, Lord, as we gather here today, remind us of the price you have paid. Remind us of what it has cost for you, that we might seek you with all our hearts and not just with a little bit of that heart. That we might seek you with all of our souls and not just with a temporary feeling. God, remind us of your broken body. In Jesus' name, amen.